If you have Jesus in your boat, you don't need to be afraid. They say that a picture is worth a thousand words. Maybe that's because there is a story behind every picture. If I could show you an actual photo of the boat that we have for sale today, it would not impress you much. It's old and battered and frankly looks like it's been through a war. But this boat has an incredible story to tell. I would like to show you this morning five pictures of this boat in action. Now, these pictures will not appear on the screen, but these pictures will appear in our minds. The boat will be in each picture, but it will not be the important part of the picture. And so for these pictures, I would like you to pay close attention to what is going on around the boat and inside the boat. Some boats become famous for what they are, such as the Blue Nose, the Titanic, and the Queen Mary II. But this boat is famous for who it carried. We're going to look at five pictures today from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41, and each picture has a theme. We're going to look at the sea, the storm, the Savior, the stillness, and the surprise. And so as you join me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, we're going to begin with that first picture of the sea. And we look at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. It had been a long day for the Lord, teaching the people by the lake. The crowd that gathered was so large that he sat in the boat. He taught them from the lake as the people lined the shore. When evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now the Greek that Mark used reveals that for some reason, Jesus was in a hurry to leave. Perhaps he was physically exhausted. Jesus, even though he was perfect, he had a human body. He was a human being. He was a man. And so he could get exhausted after a long day of work, just like you and I can. Or perhaps there was another reason. We don't know why he was in a hurry, but he seemed urgent to leave. In the darkening shadows of dusk, Jesus wearily found a cushion in the stern of the boat. And he laid down to rest as they set out on the 5-mile journey to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It must have been a beautiful picture as they moved slowly across the sea. The black silhouette of sails against the golden skies, a flotilla of admirers following in other boats, all moving gently across a sea of glass. Jesus knew that his teaching was not over for the day. He was about to teach his disciples an important lesson because, you see, Jesus' school of learning is open 24 hours a day. Our second picture is of the storm. We read in verse 37, "A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped." Let me tell you about the Sea of Galilee. It is 628 feet below sea level. It is surrounded by mountains that are gouged with deep ravines. And these ravines act like giant funnels for the wind swirling around the mountains. As the warm air rises from the protected, sun-drenched valley, cold air from the mountains can come rushing down through the ravines to take its place. Now, the Sea of Galilee is normally calm, but at any moment, even out of a clear blue sky, a terrible windstorm can arise. And so when that happened that day, the waves crested and crashed down on the little fishing boat. Men bailed and fought for their lives, trying to keep the vessel afloat. In fact, in Matthew's account, he used the, the Greek word seismos, earthquake, to describe the intensity of that storm. Mountains of water rose up around them. The stern plunged like an elevator in a mountain of green. Then it rose on another wave, like a carnival ride, only to then plunge again. The disciples didn't know it at that moment, but Jesus would use that storm to teach them about the power of God in their lives. And sometimes we need the storms of life to teach us about God's power and to help us grow in our faith. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then you all know Romans 8:28. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." The disciples didn't know it, but on the other side of the storm, their faith would be stronger. Are you going through a storm in your life right now? I assure you, there is a silver lining in your cloud. It can be well with your soul. Our third picture is of the Savior. Let's look at verse 38. Where was Jesus while all this was going on? Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Almost a bit comical, isn't it? It wasn't for them in that moment, but Jesus was there too. Why would they think he didn't care? The disciples were in the middle of perhaps the most terrifying moment of their lives. And where was Jesus? Asleep in the boat. And they actually accused him of not caring. But notice what woke Jesus up. It was not the howling winds. It was not the crashing waves. It was not the rocking and the creaking of the boat. But it was the cries of help from his friends that woke him up. Perhaps you feel like God doesn't know what is going on in your life. Maybe it seems like God doesn't care about your pain and your fear. Maybe you feel like you are in the storm all alone, but you are not. God knows every wave that falls on you. He knows how many times your heart beats in a minute. He knows every breath you take, every thought you think, and every emotion you feel. God has not abandoned you. He has not stopped caring. He has not forgotten. He is not asleep. Psalm 121 verse 3 says, "He who watches over you will not slumber." God will take care of you. Our fourth picture is of the stillness. Look at verse 39. "He," being Jesus, "got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm." I'm reading this from our NIV Bibles where it's rendered "quiet, be still." The English Standard Version renders it "peace, be still." Kind of like when Jesus said "quiet." Kind of like, almost like the wind and the waves were being naughty children in that moment, right? And like a parent, he had to settle them down. The original Greek indicates that after Jesus said this, the miracle was instantaneous. I mean, he said it and everything just went calm instantly. Now, the storm did not wake Jesus up because the storm was not a concern to him. And the storm was not a concern to him because he knew that he was stronger than the storm. However, when he knew that his friends were in distress, he came to the rescue. And I would like you to understand this morning that Jesus is more powerful than any storm you are facing. Yes, even yours. Therefore, Your storm does not worry him. Notice I said it doesn't worry him. I didn't say he doesn't care. He cares, but it doesn't worry him. He cares about you and he wants to help you through it. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry." Jesus asked his disciples if they still had no faith. Well, why would they think he didn't care? Had he not proven himself over and over to them? When we are in a storm, we should remember the many storms that we have faced before. He has brought us through each one. So why would he fail us this time? It's like the old Christian song that says, "He hasn't brought us this far to leave us. He hasn't picked us up to let us down." We just need to be still and to trust him. Our fifth and final picture is called the surprise. Let's look at verse 41. In case I missed 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." If you ever doubt that the Bible is true, just think of so many stories in the Bible that do not take place as mankind would invent them if somebody was writing the story. If I was writing this story and inventing this story, I think the climax of the story would be when Jesus calmed the storm. That would be what this whole story was leading up to. And I think after that, they'd get back on shore and the disciples would hoist him on their shoulders and parade him around and just be so amazed at what he had accomplished. But for Mark, who wrote this, the climax of the story, the main point he was trying to get across, was the surprised reaction of the disciples. You see, they had been afraid in the storm, but now they were terrified in the calm. Why? Because as fishermen, they were familiar with the power of the storm. But as disciples, as followers of Jesus, they were just beginning to realize the power of the Lord. This power that terrified them that day in the boat would later give them confidence and peace. For example, on another night later on, Peter found himself chained in a prison cell, guarded by soldiers. The king had already put James to death. Death seemed certain for Peter too. But Peter, like his Lord before him, slept. Child of God, Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. All things, even the wind and the waves, obey his voice. And unless he allows it for some purpose, nothing can harm you. There is a lot to be afraid of in our world, but followers of Jesus do not need to be afraid. First of all, I ask you, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? That has to be step one. He's not even in the boat with you if you have not done that. And then if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, are you trusting in his power? Yes, bad things do happen to God's people. It is part of living in an imperfect world. And he doesn't promise to spare us from every tragedy or every storm or every trial or every bad thing. But it's encouraging to know that no harm can come to you apart from his purpose and will. If you have received him as your Savior, he is right there in the boat with you. He knows all the storms that you are facing. Now, sometimes He will choose to calm the storm. But sometimes he will just calm you while the storm rages around you. But no harm can come to you apart from his will. And when we take that to heart, peace will have victory over fear. If you have Jesus in your boat, you don't need to be afraid. Let's pray, and I will give you a moment for silent prayer. Father, if there's anyone here that does not yet have Jesus in their boat, I pray that in the quietness of this moment, they will talk to you, confessing their sins and inviting Jesus, accepting Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of their life. For those of us who already know Jesus, forgive us for the times, Father, we have found ourselves in storms and have accused the Lord of not caring. Thank you that you know. And thank you that no harm will come to us unless you have some overall purpose for it. Father, there is great comfort in knowing that. There is great comfort in knowing that the things in life do not happen by accident, but they're all part of the big picture of our lives. They're all part of the big picture of your plan. And so we praise you for that. And so, Father, I pray for those that are facing a storm right now. I pray that they have found hope and comfort this morning and encouragement. And I pray that they will trust your power. And Father, we don't like to think about it, but for those that may be about to face a storm they're not even aware of when it comes. Because just like the Sea of Galilee, sometimes they come in an instant when we least expect it. I pray that they will trust your power. And Father, we thank you today that we are not alone in our boat. You are there. Jesus is there. In fact, his Holy Spirit lives inside each believer, each true believer in Jesus. We are not alone. You are with us. You see. You hear. And you will get us through the storm. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you for being our shelter in the time of storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.